all we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye?
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And good afternoon and welcome to Race Across America, the show America's been waiting on for over 400 years. It's the only place to find the whole truth about America's racial history, its problems and progress of the past, present, and everything in between. Open, honest dialogue. Everything is on the table for discussion. We hold everyone accountable for what they say about racial issues in today's America, including ourselves. I'm Paul White. My co-host is LaMarcus Tinker. LaMarcus, what else does our audience need to know about our show before we get going today?
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank all of our Facebook watchers as well that are live with us here in the studio. And we just want to let you know that we love feedback. We love your comments. We love for you to call in. So if you feel motivated and you feel like Paul has said something to upset you, because we know everybody loves me, the phone number is 775-884-9910. Again, that number is 775-884-9910. So please, we want to hear from you. Call in. Please challenge us. Feedback, comments. We love hearing that. And then also, if you want to get a little bit more in detail with us, you can email us at raceacrossamerica20@gmail.com. And you can visit us at raceacrossamerica20.com. And then you can also follow us at Race Across America on Facebook. Again, that number 775-884-9910. All right, Paul, you ready to upset some people today?
Ready to rock it, LaMarcus. I want to remind our viewers, LaMarcus and I are partners, colleagues, friends. We share the same faith. We share the same concern that America work out this race problem. We differ sometimes in the way to do that, but that America is lacking on honest, open dialogue, and that's what we want to encourage in our listeners as well. If America's defined healing of its centuries-long racial discord, it's going to have to come from two primary actions on behalf of blacks and whites. What are they? Sensitivity and reality. If white Americans want blacks to have less sensitivity about reliving the full horrors of America's racist past, then whites need to have a whole lot more sensitivity to it. They need to stop being indifferent and ignorant of the full details of this past. And believe me, I doubt if there's very many people listening today who know some of the details I'll share with you today. Whites need to stop making excuses for it. There's no need to. Instead, take the offensive. Become willing to confront and remove all the remnants of this racist past so it stops being used as a roadblock and an excuse for not achieving racial harmony. I'll be sharing some examples today. And if black Americans want to stop their perpetual ranking behind every other racial group in regard to social issues, criminal behavior, education, careers, financial solvency, then they need to accept the reality that black Americans in 2020 have not fallen behind the rest of the country because of something being done to them as the result of historic or present systemic racism by white people. Rather, the black-white gap in 2020 is overwhelmingly due to blacks' current unwillingness. Take accountability for personal behavior and change some cultural and social values. You're going to hear plenty of examples on today's Race Across America regarding this dual need for both races to help heal our nation by practicing more sensitivity and reality. LaMarcus, what do you think?
Well, Paul, I'm trying to maintain myself. We're just getting started here today, so I don't want to come at you too hard, okay. But I think I'm going to come for you today.
All right.
So when you talk about black people needing to realize that somehow, some way that they are not being oppressed or that there's nothing against them, you know, I think that's just ridiculous, Paul, because if you look at since we were brought here, you know, hundreds of years ago, and we were enslaved hundreds of years ago, and not even 70 years ago, we were not even really considered human beings. We had to march for civil rights just to be considered equal, and to be able to eat at the same counters and ride on the same buses and go to the same schools. And so when you talk about this idea that just because it's 2020, that there's nothing that Black America is facing, or that there's no hidden agenda.
Let me tell you something, Paul.
The agenda has been stacked against us from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the different laws that are in place right now in this country, you got to remember that a lot of these laws were implemented when we weren't even considered human beings. Laws were implemented when we were not even able to eat in the same places as you, Paul, or as other Caucasian Americans. So how is it that a country that was built on the backs of a culture all of a sudden now have this awesome rights because it's 2020? Were the laws rewritten? No. Did they change anything in legislation? No. Did it become worse? Yes. Or a lot of the loopholes that these officers are getting through, crimes and laws that were set up many, many years ago? Absolutely. So when we sit up and we talk about Black people needing not to feel like that the system is set up against them, the system was never created for them. The system was never created with them in mind. The system was created to keep them in their place. So when we start talking about there's no reason in 2020 for this to be taking place, that's ludicrous. That's ludicrous, okay. Paul, that when an institution was created and these individuals were considered not even human beings, they were considered property. How dare you say just because it's 2020 that somehow, some way, those laws have changed, those institutions have changed?
You mean how dare I say that this isn't the History Channel, that we're in 2020, and that the system that wasn't working for Blacks has been changed in every possible way? So that, LaMarcus, what you didn't answer is that in 2020, there's not one doggone excuse. The laws have changed. These statistics for Blacks have not. Okay, now, I'm gonna throw you an easy one here. When needing more sensitivity, I'll throw out a few things that whites need to think about for more sensitivity. Okay, let's take these hangings. They had two people died by hanging in Victorville and Palmdale, California, last week or so. Well, if you saw yesterday, and of course it came out, everybody was saying, oh, they were hung, what happened? Oh, there was this rush to judgment, it must be some lynching crazy white people. Well, no, Victorville one came out today. They had a security camera in the neighborhood. The guy hung himself. Palmdale, my belief is it'll come out the same way. But let's go, it was a horrible tragedy, but let's go, white people, and say, instead, yeah, Blacks seem awfully, awfully sensitive to this lynching thing, anything that's hung. Well, let's look at why that might be. Okay, the first anti-lynching bill, federal, was introduced by a Republican congressman from Missouri, Leonard Dyer, in 1918. Okay, now, this was done because during the last few years prior to that, about 20, 5,000 illegal lynchings were held in the South, and about 3,500 of them were Black. Not all, by any means, but the majority. Now, and the details were horrible. I don't know, I'd be surprised how many white people are aware of this. They were totally illegal, and yet they were held. They had crowds as big as 10,000. That's like a Staples Center filled to capacity. And as many as 10,000 people watching, white people. It was like a party. It was raucous, kind of like going to a football game. There were postcards sent around. The U.S. Postal Service would mail postcards of these lynchings. The people were brutally tortured before they were, indescribably tortured, dismembered, etc. Now, did the United States need an anti-lynching bill? Yeah, we sure did. So Mr. Dyer introduced it in 1921, and it failed because Southern Democrat senators said, you know, we might still need to keep this in our pocket. Okay, well, we say, you know, that's 1921. Okay, they tried it again in 1934 to pass it. Didn't pass. Anybody want to take a guess out there in the audience as to when the United States finally passed a federal anti-lynching bill? How about 4 months ago? February 2020, It's taken 100 years, what, to pass a bill, a federal law that says lynching is illegal or shouldn't be done? So, yeah, there's sensitivity needed for this. So, LaMarcus, there's one example. Here, one other quick one, and I'll throw it back to you. University of Florida this week came out with the fact that they're getting rid of their what's called their gator bait cheer. Yeah, sounds innocent enough. They're the gators, make the gator look with the jaws and stuff. In terms of lack of sensitivity, not everybody, probably hardly any, but definitely some knew. This has historical precedent. Gator bait was a phrase used back in those Jim Crow days where it didn't happen a lot, but historically it certainly did, and it was published. There were white alligator hunters would talk to poor black women and say, you know, I'll give you a few bucks if you'll let me use your kids to attract the alligators. They'd put these little babies out in the shallow water and have them play around. When the gators came out, the hunters would shoot them. There's no record of any babies being killed, but are you kidding me? So this is what I'm talking about on the white side of the sensitivity. Yeah, get rid of the damn cheer. Yes, get rid of this jump on these Democrats or saying, what, it took you a century to figure out that lynching was no good. So by keeping these old remnants around, we're leaving it open to make excuses for why things don't change now. LaMarcus.
Well, you know, Paul, and we have a caller here, so just be quick here. And I just want to remind everybody to call in at 775-884-9910. Well, Paul, I think, I mean, in my opinion, I feel like you just proved my point. These institutions and these ways of thinking and these anthems and these flags and these justifications about how it took 100 years to pass a lynching bill, well, I mean, Paul, 100 years, right?
Yep.
You said that it was 2020. Why did it take so long? I'm not exactly sure, but I understand that the institutions that were created to why that bill could not pass were not to benefit African Americans in this country. And I think that you have to acknowledge that, which is why now everybody is stepping back saying, well, this is now, we understand that this is wrong. But why wasn't it wrong 10 years ago? Why wasn't it wrong during the Civil Rights Movement? Why wasn't it wrong a long, long time ago? While of a sudden, now we need to acknowledge that we've had these institutions in place that have been created to oppress and depress a black African Americans in this country. Let me go to the lines right quick. We have Sean on the phone.
Fire.
Wow, all the way from Houston, Texas.
Oh, Sean.
Good evening, my brother. What do you have for us today, Sean?
Good evening. Peace, Kings. Peace. I love what you guys got going on. But I do have a few questions that I want to ask and a few statements that I want to make. And, you know, one of the things that I love that you guys are talking about this is because, you know, I don't believe that all white people are bad. But we have to talk about, you know, what in whole what the white race has done, you know, across the world. And when we look at things, you know, we can't deny the undeniable, the indisputable, irrefutable, proven fact and truth. And I want to talk about one small thing, and we're going to talk about Christopher Columbus. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, when Christopher Columbus supposedly founded this great sweet country that we all live in, we have to look at the things that...
Hey, Paul, Sean, we're having a hard time hearing you. It sounds like you're making a good point there, but we're losing you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Sean.
Okay. You know, when Christopher Columbus got here, one of the things that we have to address is that on his way out, he got caught stealing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, I'm sorry. We're losing you here. We can't hear you. Our producer's going to work on it, Sean. If you could try to give us a call back, we would love to hear what you have to say. Please call us back, Sean.
Let me jump in one quick second, if I could, LaMarcus. So your question is absolutely right. And this stuff is wrong, like I brought up. It's wrong. It shouldn't have hung around so long now. But here's the question, see, and here comes the reality part. The very fact that five states still want to run a facsimile of the Confederate flag, or that it took 100 years until 4 months ago to have an anti-lynching federal law. But, LaMarcus, what's that got to do with the reality of how's that causing blacks to kill 10 times more people a year, commit 10 times more violent crime than whites? How's that creating them to get suspended out of school more for behavior? How's that How's that leading to a triple abortion rate or an 8 times AIDS rate? What does this stuff in the past, and it needs to be dealt with. Don't get me wrong. That's why I brought it up. But what in the heck has that got to do with using that an excuse for why these social things are refusing to be corrected?
Well, Paul, I'm glad you brought that up because I've heard you reference that a lot. And let me start by saying that nobody is saying by any stretch of the imagination that us as African Americans don't have things we need to work on just like other cultures here in this country. But one of the things that I do want to say to our listeners is, have you ever lived in hell, Paul? Have you ever lived in hell? And when I say that, I want everybody to hear me. That majority of the African Americans in this country live in environments and are around institutions that feel like hell. It feels like they are suffocating because they're not getting good educations. They're not getting good health care. These are things that produce what? If you put somebody in hell and you leave them there long enough, do you think they're going to come out as an angel, or do you think they're going to start reacting to their environment? Now, that doesn't mean that their actions are right, Paul, but what I'm saying to you is that this thing has been set up from the beginning of time. It was never set up to benefit those minorities that were in those communities, those impoverished communities, or those ghettos, or as you like to call them, Paul, thugs, when you reference African Americans in those communities. But my thing to you is, Paul, if you've ever lived in hell, you have to understand that sometimes you become your environment, not because you were born that way, not because you want to be that way, but because sometimes some people feel like there is no other way. So when you reference African Americans, Paul, you need to put it in the context. I didn't say every African American. I said some African Americans in this country. If you've never lived in hell, how dare you say what and how they should react to it?
Oh, you know, you got to get off your high horse. How dare I say it? I'll tell you how dare I say it, because I've done something you've never done. I've run all black schools in the ghettos and everywhere, and I'll tell you one thing about mine. I'll tell you that in a school I ran that was majority black, the best student and the worst student in there were both black. They were both girls. They both lived in the same hood. One mother had raised engineers, teachers, lawyers. The other had raised street thugs. And that's what they are. And again, to try to say there's some racial connotation to a thug is just, again, more excuses. They've got good schools. In the same exact school, one girl was an honor student doing great. The other, she was the best top student in the school. The other school, also black, no good at all. Wouldn't study, wouldn't work. And the kids, there were... wouldn't take the books home. A majority of my black kids, I couldn't get to take the books home. They'd say, oh, you know, it's acting white, et cetera. So the idea that somehow the government's given the black kids horrible schools, I've been there. I've run these schools. It's nonsense. Health care, black Americans don't have worse health because they can't get health care. They've got worse health because every medical survey you want to look up says that the lifestyle's got to change, the diet's got to change. And so these things, Lamarcus, that we're in 2020 here. These laws were changed. They're there and they're being taken advantage. If the system is bad, then there would be no blacks progressing, and they're progressing steadily. Graduation from college rates going up, life expectancies going up. The fact that it's and the people, the schools, you want better schools, you want charter schools. Who is holding back the charter schools? Democrats. Who do the majority of blacks vote for? Democrats. I mean, come on. It's like a little accountability here.
All right, Paul. Well, you know what's interesting is that you just said something that's really loaded. But I'm going to deal with the fact again about the schools. And you referenced your experience, Paul. And I want to say that, I mean, I think it's great what you did in your career from an educator standpoint. But again, just because you go into the hood, as you articulated, just because you go there and you teach there and you run a school there, that in no way gives you the right to think that you know what it's like to live there. And just because somebody made it out doesn't doesn't give you the right to say that, well, you know, they made it out, so you should have made it out. And I think that that is the problem. That is the problem that I want everybody that's listening to understand. The issue is that you have people of Caucasian descent, and then you have people of African-American descent. You have Caucasians trying to talk about what it's like to be black when they've never been black, what it's like to live in a black neighborhood when majority have not. Some have. But again, you want to speak on that because you had a school there, but you didn't live there. You didn't, you know, go through the things that those kids experienced. Granted, you were there. Granted, you were an eye of inspiration for a lot of those kids, because I know about the ones that you've helped and you've touched over the years, Paul. But again, for you to have this idea in your mind that somehow because you taught there and you taught those kids that they have no excuse, they have no reason to go the way that they go, Paul. And that is just utterly false. And so we got to go back, though, Paul. We have Sean back on the line. Again, people call in 775-884-9910. All right, Sean, we got you back. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, so I'm sorry about that. So what I was saying was, when we look at Christopher Columbus and, you know, the way that it was supposedly that he founded this great country, we have to look at the lawsuits that he was under, you know, from the Crown of Castle between 1508 and 1536. And one thing that the white race does not realize is that Christopher Columbus, when he was sent on that ship to find other lands, that was not correct. He was an outcast, okay? He was an outcast, and he had other members on that ship that was outcast. There was the murderers, there was the rapists. So we learn these things from you guys, Paul. That's what you don't realize. We learn these behaviors and these ways that we got is from you guys, okay? So when you guys came over here and did what you did and took over, and obviously, like I said, Christopher Columbus was a Cold Stone Thief, so there should be no statue, period, of him. And that's why it's named after American Vespucci, the Italian explorer. And I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Is there any statutation on murder?
Statute of limitations? No, not that I know of.
Okay, so there's no statutations up on murder.
So let's charge all America with murder. Well, thank you, Marcus, if you can give me back the thing. Thanks, Sean. And let me address that briefly. The idea that the white race invented slavery, well, this is kind of interesting, because I'll give you a little update on slavery. There's no civilization in history, any major civilization, that didn't practice it. Now, if you saw around graduation time, and you saw just last week, Schumer and Pelosi wearing these what's known as kente cloth, and there are these beautiful, like kind of a scarf thing, kind of yellow with lots of bright colored design, and often it's in recent years, it's been a popular thing to wear these like as a sign of, I guess, solidarity with Africa, or this is where it was really fair, or something like that. And interesting thing with kente cloth, it's from the Ashanti tribe of West Africa, and the Ashantis, for at least two centuries, had their primary source of income be raiding other black tribes, or arresting them, putting them under control, and selling these blacks to the slave traders. So in other words, this idea that, sure, Columbus wasn't any great guy. That's why if I had my way, Sean, I'd get rid of every statue. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks just as much as George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. Let's have plaques and just say what these people accomplished in the higher points in their life. And they all had good points, and they all had flaws. But I'm saying that this thing with Columbus being, yeah, Columbus had shortcomings, and so did the tribes in Africa where they came from, and so did they in Asia and everywhere else. The idea that the white man is the devil, as black Muslims teach, is just only provable if you don't know your history.
All right, folks, we have to take a quick break here. Again, give us a call at 775-884-9910. We see the lines are blowing up. Please keep calling in. We will get to you right after this break here again on Race Across America on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio.
It's Race Across America. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us back here on Race Across America on KKFT 99.1. Again, we want to hear from you, 775-884-9910. Please join the conversation. And speaking of join the conversation, we have Kyle all the way from Oregon. Good afternoon, Kyle. Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Race Across America. What's your question, sir?
afternoon. Paul, thank you for calling and welcome to Race Across America.
Kyle, are you there?
Hey, guys. It's just so refreshing to see two guys on the radio who can actually disagree and carry on a conversation. That's so refreshing.
Thank you, Kyle. We appreciate that. Thank you. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you joining the conversation, and we love hearing from you. So thank you all the way from Oregon, Kyle. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks, Kyle. LaMarcus, I got a question for you. How you feel about this? To me, you got blacks and whites both selling out on this issue. As you know, the NBA is going to reopen their season operating out of Disney World in Florida, and they're setting up the players with the most unbelievable, cushy, comfortable setting that could ever be. It's gorgeous there. Players are going to be able to make millions of dollars. Now, the NBA, so the players are happy to get back. They're going in there, but they're also saying, but, you know, we don't want to lose sight of this social justice issue going on with race. Now, the NBA is falling all over themselves saying, oh, we want to support, get rid of this systemic racism, and we're going to put quite a bit of money into this. Now, here's the only problem with both of them, LaMarcus. To my mind, they're both sellouts. Of all the states in the Deep South, the ones that lynched the most people proportionally was Florida, number one. Now, let's say they put that in the past, moved beyond it. Great. Ah, but they haven't. Their state flag they're running is still a facsimile of the Confederate flag. Now, here's my question. If everybody, all the NBA players, care that much about what's going on and speaking up, and the white ownership of the NBA really cares that much, then why wouldn't they both tell Disney World, LaMarcus, who's like the dog that wags the tail in Florida, why wouldn't they tell Disney World, you need to get that state of Florida to change that state flag or we're not coming down here? But nobody's talking about that, LaMarcus. They want to talk sports, and that's why this problem's gotten like it is for centuries. Nobody wants to really talk honestly. If the NBA and its players had any guts at all, any true heart in the game, they'd refuse to do anything in Florida until Florida changed that flag. Where are you on this?
All right, Paul, let me jump into that again. I want to remind our listeners, 775-884-9910. All right, now let me get on you, Paul.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about this NBA going to Florida and how the NBA players should stand up and ask the Florida remove this Confederate flag and how Florida's history with the most hangings and this, that, and the third. Well, as you said last week on the show, Paul, and I'm going to hold your feet to the fire, I don't think the NBA players should have to do anything. Majority of them, like you said, are African-American. So that means that, like you stated last week, you challenged your Caucasian brothers and sisters, and we challenged them together, that they the ones that needed to speak up and have that flag removed from Florida. So therefore, the NBA is going there, obviously, to continue the season, to try to give the people in this country something to cheer for when there's so much pain and there's so much suffering across this country. Now, let me go ahead and say this when it comes to the NBA, and, you know, I'm not sure how anybody's going to receive this, but I feel like the NBA is a direct replication of the idea that we are good enough to entertain you, we are good enough to be your sports gladiators, but we are not good enough to be respected by you. We are not good enough to be honored by you. And I feel like with the NBA, you have my brothers and sisters. Again, I think it's awesome they have accomplished these things. They have inspired. They have added back to the community. But oftentimes when I hear people speak about the NBA, they talk about it as if it's, you know, oh, it's, you know, they should be grateful. They made it to the NBA. They're making millions of dollars. How do they know what the black experience is? And those are statements I've heard you echo before, Paul. And the reality is this. The reality is this, Paul. You have NBA players that, in my opinion, it's almost like, you know, it's a kind of that concept of the plantation, right? Where we were good enough to do, you know, pull your oxes, we were good enough to chop your trees, we were good enough to work in the fields. Well, finally, we get a piece of the real estate. Again, finally, you have NBA owners that are making billions of dollars, and just because we have a select few African Americans in the NBA, a majority of the team, should I say, all of a sudden, somehow, we're supposed to be grateful that you gave us a piece of the pie? No, I don't think so, Paul. And we're going to go to our caller right here, Paul. We have a caller on the line calling from Shirts, Nevada. Velma, welcome to Race Across America.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hello. Can. Yes, we can.
Wonderful. I just like to call in to address Paul and some of the statements that he's been making on this show, because I have been following it, and I'm just trying to understand. Before, I thought that maybe he was just being the devil's advocate, you know, in opposition to what's going on in the world today. But now it seems to me that he really believes the dreadful statements that he's making. I mean, statistics are negated by the full knowledge that we have today in visual of what's going on and what's happening to our race, to black people. It has nothing to do with the schoolyard. It has nothing to do with the lack of education when you have people openly killing people that are in authority. When the executive branch of government can kill someone wide open on video and no one takes an action, and then the people, such as yourself, Paul, you want to negate the pain of the past where racism started. Okay, we still feel that. We're not free yet.
Well, Velma,
and you just want to act like, well, that's in the past. Why do we keep revisiting the past? Because the past is revisiting us.
Well,
even the laws that were made to help black people and to give us equality so that we can see justice aren't even acknowledged.
Well, Velma, appreciate you calling and some good questions. Unfortunately, statistics don't get negated by facts, don't get negated by feelings. Feelings are important, but the statistics are the statistics. In other words, when you hear somebody screaming like, stop killing us, somebody at a Black Lives Matter rally, well, of all the black people who are murdered every year, 4% are killed by cops. Of all the black people who are killed, okay, 96% are killed by other blacks. Nobody's killing you. Of all the whites who are killed every year, of all the whites, percent, cops kill 8%. Whites are killed twice as much by cops as blacks are. Now, and where you hear that time, a black person's 2.5 more times likely to be killed by a cop than a white, and that's accurate. But they're breaking the violent laws 10 times more, so they're actually being killed 75% less than they're part of the crime thing. So facts are kind of unpleasant things sometimes. They just call it like it is. This NBA issue, to go back to wrap that with LaMarcus. I mean, LaMarcus, to bring up imagery of like a minstrel show or something, singing and dancing for the white people, it's just like, you know, you wonder why there's no credibility to this argument, because it's such a ridiculous metaphor, an example.
No,
the NBA
no.
is full of, the NBA is full of players who are making millions and want to get in there and play. And they want to play more than they want to say anything in Florida. Now, you're right. It should not be mostly on the players. It should be on the NBA, who's primarily white at the high end. But the NBA is so wanting to get back and make money also that they don't bring it up. But now they'll go off and talk about how systemically bad America is or something, just to keep the players happy. No, it's not like the whites. What you've got is a bunch of rich guys. Some play ball, some run the league. And nobody wants to let their social conscience get in the way of making millions of dollars. And that's exactly why this problem continues, LaMarcus, because, like I say, we don't look at the truth. We just look at kind of how we can kind of work about it. But this idea that, again, there to Velma, you might have missed the stat last week. Cops in a given year have 375 million. That's a lot. Interactions with people when they're arresting them and things. And out of that 375 million interactions, the Department of Justice and the Science Institute or something found these and said there's no proof, zero, of structural racism in how white and black, those who are arrested, are treated. And you hear somebody say, well, a black guy got busted for car theft and did 6 months, and a white guy got busted for it and did 30 days. And in instances where that's happened, yeah, it's because typically maybe the black guy had 5 car thefts to his record and the white guy had 1 or 2. It's based on your criminal experience. So again, I'm waiting for anybody to tell me one systemic problem here in 2020. LaMarcus,
Paul,
give me
listen,
one.
Listen, Paul, let me just address, and I appreciate Velma for calling in, and we're coming right here to you, Jonathan, momentarily. We have the callers calling in because, of course, Paul is setting the airwaves on fire today. So let me go ahead and address something, Paul. again with these statistics, these numbers. But as Velma referenced, and I've referenced time and time again, these statistics can be manipulated to fit the individual's narrative that is in power. You're right, statistics are important. Yeah, they're snapshots in time. But just because you can pull a statistic out of a book doesn't mean that your eyes are not seeing what they're seeing. And I think that's the problem. Everybody wants to explain it away, but nobody wants to accept what is right in front of them. Stop pulling numbers out of a book and start looking at the human experience. That is what we have to do. But with that being said, we're going to go to the callers that are calling in. Jonathan from Aptos, California. Sir, you are on Race Across America.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Sure. Yes, we can, Jonathan.
Fire away.
Okay. So I'm very happy that you guys are having this great discussion. I'm calling from the great city of South Lake Tahoe, where I'm one of the few African Americans who live here. And I just want to say, Paul, I really like your honesty, but I think you need to wake up, okay? I think you need to really wake up, because in the way you're framing this whole thing, you're talking as if we're in some kind of alien box. So when you talk about black people and you talk about white people, what it sounds like to me, there's so much implicit bias that it's almost like we're like a race of a different kind, and whites are a race of a different kind. But you know something? There's only one race, and that's the human race.
Right.
Okay? You got to get that in your head, because if you don't, that implicit bias is going to really affect a lot of people. And the way you talked about running a black school, the way you come across right there shows me that you wouldn't really take the time of day to help those blacks if you had a chance.
Why don't you ask the kids who went to that school, John?
No. I'm not going to ask them, because I know from the way you're talking, I would never put my kid in your class. You see? And if you look at success rates, take a look at success rates, and why do more blacks end up successful coming from HBCUs than from white institutions? You see, at white institutions, the failure rate is super high. And then it's very high when you put those same kids in loving environments like an HBCU where people really care for them. Mm. They thrive.
Oh, Jonathan, so I got
the whole thing. Let me finish. See, the thing about it is, in order for us to deal with this particular conundrum of race in America, it's going to take both of us making sure that blacks are successful. You're talking about, oh, them bad, and, hey, they're not good over there, and they're feeling like crazy. Let me tell you something. Even if blacks were not in this country, if blacks evaporated today, do you know that the crime rate in America would still be sky high compared to all the other industrialized countries? Do you know that? There are like 40,000 murders in America. Take blacks out of it. You're still sky high. So,
Jonathan, I thank you for calling. Let me cut in though here. Okay, first of all, your HBCU, for audience, that's historically black colleges and universities, how well the kids do, that could not be more false, okay? And that's everywhere. That's an unarguable statistic. HBCUs typically accept the kids and with low or no standards to get them in. And you know what the result is, Jonathan? 17% of them graduate from 4 years. The average university in the United States is 37%, okay? Now you've got a Howard or a Spelman or something, a couple of them that do real well in the HBCUs. But overall, it's 17%. It's less than half of what they're graduating out of major ones. So that one couldn't be more false. Now, in terms of just there being one race, you're right. That means one race, and our schools need one set of rules for everybody, no matter their color, one grading standard. I ran these schools, and I ran more than one, and my students historically always, black students and everybody else, always had an increase in their improvement, and that's because we put up with no nonsense from anybody, regardless, trying to speak for the race or anything else. Just you, a student, just me, a principal or teacher. And we're going to judge you on what you do or what you don't do. And so this is just the problem, is that we've gotten no statistics. How do we manipulate statistics like 3 out of 4 black kids are growing up with no dad in the home? Who's manipulating that? We know what effect that has. How do we manipulate the statistic that the HIV rate for black males is 8 times that of anybody else? How's that manipulated? How do we manipulate that you talk about if they took away the blacks, disappeared tomorrow? Well, you know something? We'd lose 53% of the violent crime in America. That's what we'd have. And so nobody wants this. It is one race, Jonathan, and one nation under a God. who made everybody, and we need to start talking to each other honestly and quit wanting to have excuses for either why we won't help somebody or why we would. And in terms of, go read my book, White's Rules, Saving Our Youth One Kid at a Time. You can get it on Amazon. Read that, and then you tell me how I deal with the kids and of all kinds and colors.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you for plugging that White's Rules book. Again, if you want to call in, 775-884-9910. I want to thank Jonathan for calling in. We also have another caller on the line. We have Crystal all the way from Aldine, Houston, Texas. Crystal, you are here on Fox News Radio, Race Across America.
Hi, guys. First of all, let me just, I want to lay a baseline a little bit here. Paul, to answer your question, because you gave us a lot, so let me help you out, and I'm going to give it to you in a simple way with fewer words. The first thing is the issues that you're looking at amongst that you're calling statistics, all of it is a part of a system. Okay, and what that system has done, first of all, there's no human race, there's humanity. That's not a race. Humanity as in H-U-E-M-A-N-I-T-Y. Hue as in color spectrum, as in spectrum of a greater light, as in we all come from the great source of life that gives life to all. No one has the power nor authority to take another's life. No one has the power nor authority to actually change someone's life purpose and trajectory. Now let's go back. The system that you're speaking of, that you're grabbing all these statistics from, that we know, all those statistics aren't correct, so we're not going to even argue about that. But let's speak about this system for a second.
I'd be happy to hear
this
one.
Is
it's
the
not.
Same system. Let me finish. This is the same system that has labeled all of us and brought us all to a point of division so that you don't enliven your spirit. That is what's wrong. I didn't say Christianity. I'm not talking about religions. I am talking about this system has impoverished humanity from knowing itself. And when you deprive all from knowing themselves, then we have ignorance, which you spouted. Then we have foolishness, which you stated are stats. Then we have a decline in society. That is what is wrong. There is no left side, no right side. There's only the source of life side.
Crystal, we thank you for calling in. We've got to get to our closing statements here. The time got away from us. LaMarcus, take it away.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say to all of our callers, thank you for calling in today. And I just want to let you know our producer is only cutting you off here only because of the timing. So I just want to let you know we want to hear from you again. Again, you can get on the Facebook. You can give us a call, 775-884-9910. And, of course, we are available to receive emails and things like that to continue these discussions. We appreciate you. And with that being said, you know, after listening to the callers that have called in here today, you know, I feel a sense of responsibility, and I feel that there's an accountability with what is said on these airwaves here on this show in Race Across America, and this is our time to be able to address issues and problems that we are dealing with here in this country. And one of the things I want to say, and I really want to drive this home, is that we are, excuse us there, producer had a little slip up there. One of the things I want to drive home here today is that we have to get away from this idea of numbers. We have to get away from this idea of pulling stuff out of books and downloading things off computers. We've become so disconnected as human beings where we don't even believe what we see anymore. We want to trust our ears. We want to go and feel like we have to prove that that didn't happen, or we have to find a way to explain it away. But what happens to the human element of this? And everybody that is seeing what is happening around this country, how could you not be moved? How could you not think that there was a problem?
whether it be systemic racism, direct racism, this country was built on dead bodies. This country was built on broken backs. This country was never built to sustain and identify minorities as being human beings. But yet somehow we seem to think our foundation was pure as snow when it was rotten from the beginning. And just because it's 2020 doesn't mean that for somehow, some way, we have eradicated that rotten core. And so, again, I urge everybody to please focus on the human experience. Focus on what your eyes can see. And that would be what I have to say. Paul, take it away.
Okay, thanks, LaMarcus. LaMarcus, I would just say and tell everybody, when you get away from statistics, when you get away from the truth, and you just want to go with feelings, you get away from everything that's going to help anybody improve. And that's why nothing's improving with the black statistics. Whereas if we're talking about all minorities, the Latino statistics are improving, the Asian statistics are improving, the black statistics are coming up, but slower than anybody else. And we need to go after this more truth and just simply look at it. Let's take a look. I'd close with a comment made by one of my heroes, former slave, self-made men. The topic was, it's Frederick Douglass as the speaker. Let's see what he had to say about excuses. Quote, when we find a man who's ascended heights beyond ourselves, we can know that he's worked harder, better, and more wisely than we did. He was awake while we slept. He was busy while we were idle and was wisely improving his time and talents while we were wasting ours. This wasn't Robert E. Lee. This wasn't Christopher Columbus. This wasn't all the white executives and CEOs. This was a man who came up from absolute nothing right in the heart of slavery and became one of the most contributing Americans we've ever known. Where in there does he talk about excuses? We don't want him either. We thank you very much for listening in today to my co-host LaMarcus. The show wouldn't be happening without you, and I'm forever grateful for you being a part of it. And to all our callers, thanks a million. We got to love each other. We got to love each other and to talk the truth and to look at the facts and to say, let's not care who's right or wrong on this thing. Let's just look at the facts and say, what can we do to make everybody, as Governor Cuomo said years ago, if we're going to come up, we got to all come up together. And that's as true today as it was then. Thank you for joining us on Race Across America. For my co-host LaMarcus Tinker and myself, look to hear you and have you listen to us next week. Said, you're thinking of being my brother. It don't matter if you're black or white.